We'll just read some passages together. Message is very simple tonight, but I trust and clear that trust and hope that it's clear and plain, easy to understand, and that even the youngest one will be able to realize the need of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stories that we know very well, but the thing that I really like about these passages here, some of my favorite stories in the Bible, they're not just stories, they are real, because there are people involved, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself is involved. And in tonight's messages, in fact, tonight's stories as we read them, there is happy endings in them. Now we'll just read from Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 11. And we'll go right into, Luke's Gospel chapter 18, verse 35, and we'll go into chapter 19 to verse 10. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitudes pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not, for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those which are lost. And then we'll just read one verse in Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. I don't think normally a verse that is read at a gospel meeting. Matthew's Gospel chapter 18 and verse 20. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ again, and he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We trust that the Lord Jesus Christ will bless the reading of his word to our hearts, those passages that we have read together. Now, right at the outset of our meeting tonight, I want us to just be sure of why we're here tonight. The reason why we arrange a gospel meeting, of course, is to hear the message of the good news. Gospel means good news. And the good news of the gospel, the good news of the Bible, is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those which are lost. And rather than leave this right to the very end, I'd like to very briefly point out the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came. First of all, we do not need to turn to these scriptures. We have the passage in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. And you know something, dear friends, tonight? That is a big thing in the world today, for men and women to realize that they are sinners. And I can remember before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, that was one of the things that I had to come to grips with, the fact that I was a sinner. I used to move around with young fellows, perhaps some of my cousins and some of my friends, and I didn't really get involved or get too mixed up with some of the things that they were doing around the area. Not very big things, but I mean, you know, things like smoking on the train and you know, pinching a bottle of milk off to somebody's front doorstep and things like that. But you know something? We were all sinners. And we had to get to that stage where we realized that we were sinners and we needed the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, I praise God that from a young age I attended the gospel meetings and I attended, well, hospital outreaches, etc. But I was not saved because at that point in time, well, I just didn't, I suppose, fully accept that fact that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. Until one day in a gospel meeting, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to my heart. And I realized that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And unless I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was going to a lost eternity. You know, that is the position of us all today. Because we were born in sin, because of the sin of Adam, we were born in sin. So therefore the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we have that sinful nature within us. But praise God, if we realize that we are sinners, then we're on our way to salvation. There's people in the world today, they say, well, no, but I do so much good. I'm kind to my neighbors. I give to the poor. I do all these sorts of things. Surely that must get me into heaven one day. Now, that's been said to me quite a few times. But all God is asking us tonight is to realize that we are sinners. And if we realize that we are sinners, we'll realize that we will be saved. You know, when you're out in the ocean swimming, and you can perhaps get into difficulty, but until you realize that you cannot help yourself and start putting your arms up and waving them about, that people will realize that you're in trouble, and you yourself will realize that you're in trouble by doing that and wanting somebody to come to your aid. Well, you know, dear friends, as sinners, we need to realize that we need a Savior. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible tells us that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? To think that, and when I think back on my life, when I knew not the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was doing things or ignoring Him and not taking any notice, but yet the Bible tells me that God commended His love toward us. Even though there were times when we ignored it. There's a song that I listen to sometimes on a disc, And it says, sometimes I'm not his friend, but he is always mine. And isn't that wonderful to know when we think of it, that before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, those of us who have trusted him, he persisted, he kept on loving us and speaking to our hearts, reminding us that he loves us and that he died to save us. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much from the scriptures, as the verse behind tells us, that he went to Calvary's cross and there died in our room instead. Well, you know, dear friend, if there's anyone, young or old, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, we pray that you will realize that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And the only Savior that there is that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the perfect one that came from heaven's glory, died on Calvary's cross. He was buried, he was died, he was buried, he rose again triumphantly. And you know something? He died on that cross that you and I might be redeemed back to God. Wonder what would have happened if at that stage God would have stopped loving us, you know, at some stage in our lives when we kept rebelling. Sometimes we do that to people, don't we? We try and help them. We try and be nice to them. But they don't seem to return or appreciate what you do. And you know, sometimes we say, oh, well, enough's enough. I give up. Let them go their own way. Let them do their own thing. Just leave them alone. We do that, don't we? But praise God tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, he kept on loving us. He kept on speaking to our hearts. He kept on reminding us that he died for us and we need to trust him as our Savior. How then can we be saved? How then can we be saved? Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's not difficult, is it? The Lord Jesus Christ, he loves us so much, not only us, but the whole wide world. And there are people out in the world today, well, they're not perhaps as educated as some of us are. They perhaps do not have the understanding that some of us have. They are simple folk. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he loved them. He loves them. And he made the message of the gospel so simple and so clear and so plain that the littlest child or the person out there who hasn't had much education can understand, read God's word and realize that they are sinners and that the Lord Jesus Christ died to save them so that their names can be written in heaven's book of life and they can be saved for time and for all eternity. Now that's the reason why we have the gospel meeting, to remind men and women, boys and girls, that we are sinners. We need to be saved. And the only way we can be saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth and the life, said the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we can be saved. Well, with that background behind us, and knowing our situation, knowing our condition, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, knowing that he's gone all the way to Calvary's cross to die in our room instead, let's have a look at these two passages here. I read that passage there in Matthew's Gospel, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, in our passages that we've read together, he was there in person amongst the people that we read about. But I want you to be sure tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst tonight. He's here. He's passing by. Just like he did in Jericho, the Lord Jesus Christ is passing by tonight. And in the same way that those people met and spoke to him, you and I can speak to him tonight, because he's in our very midst. He lives. Well, when we look at this passage, the first part in chapter 18, Jericho was the center of much trade. It was the main caravan route from the east to Judea. So the traffic was very heavy. Lots of people were coming and going. And Jericho lies about 23 miles north of Jerusalem. And you know, when I'm thinking of these scriptures and I'm looking at the map sometimes, and I'm sort of saying to myself, 23 miles, and you know, the Lord Jesus Christ had no transport or anything like that. Wherever he went, he walked. I think today they had a marathon on somewhere in the city. They walked, and they only walked from, was it the Harbour Bridge, I think, to Bondi or somewhere. And I saw on the news just before coming away, a snippet of the news, and there was one man. He looks like he was only a young fellow anyway, in his late 20s or something like that, but they were carrying him by the arms and his legs that shriveled up, because it had taken that drained him of his strength in his legs. And quite a few people were passed out along the way, and there were people helping them and giving them oxygen and all sorts of things. And that was only from here to Bondi or something like that. Do you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was going to Jerusalem. Now, where he was coming from, well, he won't go into that, but he was coming by Jericho. And from Jericho to Jerusalem still, he had another 23 miles to cover. And the Lord Jesus Christ was walking that way. You know, to me, it just tells me how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and I. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ could have perhaps have gone another way. I don't know, but he had to go through Jericho. We read lots of stories about Jericho, about the man who came from Jerusalem down to Jericho. The Lord Jesus Christ was going the other way. But here we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was coming, he's going to Jerusalem for the last time. And he was going to pass through Jericho. You know, it could be the last time that the Lord Jesus Christ is here in our midst today, because he could come tomorrow. This could be the last gospel meeting. And the Lord Jesus Christ could come tomorrow. Have we trusted him as our own and personal Savior? Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was approaching Jericho. And as he came towards Jericho, there along the roadside was this beggar, blind Bartimaeus. And of course he heard all the commotion going on, and he said to his friends, "What's happening? What's happening? What's all the noise about?" And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth, I love that verse there, they said to him, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Just like he's passing by tonight. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And when he heard that it was the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew who he was. He'd heard about him. Blind Bartimaeus said, "Well, this is my opportunity. Jesus, thou Son of David," he cried out, "have mercy on me." Now let's notice this that he said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," says the verse here. He cried. You know, dear friends, there deep down in Bartimaeus' heart, he had a yearning to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a desire to meet him, and he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who was the answer to his problems, and the one who could heal his physical sight. And he cried out all the more, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And dear friend, tonight, you know, I've seen some people, as they realize their need of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and realize that they are sinners, you know, It doesn't depend on emotions, we know that. But some people have realized their need so much that they cried out to the Lord to save them. And tears rolled down their eyes. I've seen that. And here was Bartimaeus. It says, he cried. And people said to him, Bartimaeus, please, be quiet. Stop calling out. But the more they told him to be quiet, all the more he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I can just feel that intense cry from his heart, because he was blind. He had to get his information from people around and about him. And perhaps on some occasions when he'd heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and the people told him about him, he'd already gone by. He'd already passed. And this was his opportunity. He was not going to let him go by without coming into contact with him. And so he cried out earnestly. He cried out earnestly. All the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew about Bartimaeus. And the Bible says, he stood still. The Lord Jesus Christ had a reason for coming to Jericho, just like he's got a reason for coming here tonight, because there could be someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and he's come here. He's walked all those miles to come to Jericho to meet Bartimaeus. And he said, Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And Bartimaeus cried out and he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. But you know, that cry from Bartimaeus' heart was so intense. It was so earnest. He wasn't just crying out to receive his sight. I think Bartimaeus was crying out to really, really know the Lord Jesus Christ and to talk with him. And you know why I say that? Because the Bible tells us that Bartimaeus, it says here, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. That's part one. Thy faith hath saved thee. I feel that at that point in time, Bartimaeus' cry was from the bottom of his heart. He received his physical sight. He also received his spiritual sight. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, receive thy sight. And then he says, thy faith hath saved thee. So there was a dual purpose within Bartimaeus' heart to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ within his heart. And he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ could restore his sight. Oh dear friends, tonight, that call from your hearts tonight, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, might be as earnest as Bartimaeus, because he is here tonight. He's passing by and he wants to save you. Time goes so quickly. We move on. The Lord Jesus Christ comes into Jericho, and right at the entrance, remember, the ones at the entrance, the other ones going out. You see, if it was somewhere in between, he could have been sitting up any street, couldn't he? He could have been around that corner or around the other corner or somewhere and perhaps not know which way to go. But here was Bartimaeus. He was at the entrance as the Lord Jesus Christ approached into Jericho. And then the Lord Jesus Christ passed through Jericho, the Bible tells us. And just as he was going out of town, another man comes into the picture. And the Bible tells us that as Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He was rich. Here was another man, and he too had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, I think tonight that Zacchaeus, he knew that he was a sinner. And that was a good start. He knew that he was a sinner. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. It tells us here that he was a chief amongst the publicans. Now, what that means is that Zacchaeus, he was a senior tax collector. And as a senior tax collector, he probably, under the system in those days, bought the rights to the tax system, paid money and got the rights to the tax system, and then leased it out to other people to be sub-tax collectors. And of course they were in a way working for him. He was the chief tax collector, he was the senior, and there were lots of other tax collectors working under Zacchaeus. So he had the rights to that particular area. And what does the Bible tell us? He was rich. He was a rich man. But now you see, Zacchaeus, he didn't have many friends. Because of the way he gained his riches and the way he operated, well, not many people liked him very much. And we find that he did not have a lot of friends, especially amongst the rabbis. But you know, Zacchaeus, although he did those things, there was still that yearning in his heart, because he too had heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew his situation. You might be a sinner tonight, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows, and perhaps you know, and you really want to come to grips with him and trust him as your own and personal Savior. Well, Zacchaeus said, this is the time. Now, when he had spoken to the rabbis at some time or another, they didn't give him such a good welcome. They weren't interested in his problems. They knew that he was rich. They knew how he got his money, and so they didn't give him much time. But you know, Zacchaeus knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was different. Somehow he knew, if I can get to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will listen to me. He'll give me a hearing, not like these rabbis. He's a different person. And so when Zacchaeus heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming through, well, he made it his business that he was going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what does he do? Zacchaeus, he goes up and he finds the tree, and he gets up into the tree. I don't know how athletic he was, but it must have been a job for him to get up into this tree, because you see, he got up in the branches there, and of course he probably didn't want anybody to see him. He just wanted a good view of the Lord Jesus Christ passing under. So it must have been a great, well, job for him to get up into that tree. But again, like Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus was earnest. He was earnest in meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And he climbed that tree. Dear friend, tonight, are you earnest about your salvation? Do you want to get to heaven? Do you want your name written in heaven's book of life? Jesus is passing by tonight. Could be the last time. It was the last time he was going through Jericho. And Zacchaeus, well, he wasn't going to let it go by. The Lord Jesus Christ was leaving the city now. He was going out. And he climbed the tree, because it says here he wanted to see Jesus for himself. For himself. He was earnest. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to that point where Zacchaeus was up the tree, the Lord Jesus Christ knew he was there. Zacchaeus probably sat as quietly as he could. But yet I feel, you know, that somehow Zacchaeus hoped that the Lord Jesus Christ would see him, because he wanted to meet him. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ knew he was there. He knows you are here tonight. He knew Zacchaeus' heart. He knew he wanted to meet him. The Lord Jesus Christ knows your heart tonight. He knows whether you really want to meet him, whether you want your name written in heaven's book of life, whether you believe that he died on the cross for your sin and mine. And you know what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ invited him down. He stopped right down at the tree where Zacchaeus was, and he says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Now, it's wonderful tonight, because when the Lord Jesus Christ uttered those words, see, Zacchaeus, well, again, like Bartimaeus, in his heart of hearts, he really wanted to come to grips with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to meet him. And the moment he got that invitation, you know, sometimes when you give people an invitation, they say, "Oh, let me think about it. Let me think about it. I'll have to just check my diary. Or let me think about that. I just have to make sure." But you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ said to Zacchaeus, "Make haste and come down," what happened? It says here, "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Oh, I can just imagine Zacchaeus. He was, well, he wanted to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and somehow he hoped that he would come into contact with him, but he went up the street. But the moment the Lord Jesus Christ recognized that he was there and knew he was there and offered him that invitation, Zacchaeus came down. And what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And you know something? It says here, "And when the people saw it, they murmured, saying, he was gone to be with a guest, to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to seek and to save sinners, didn't he? And as we said at the outset, if you realize tonight that you're a sinner, well, the Lord Jesus Christ came for you. He walked all those miles in the country towns to catch up with Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. He went all the way to Calvary's cross for you and I, and died there in our room instead, that he might reconcile us back to God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ went to his home, and we find that Zacchaeus, his spiritual cure was instantaneous. "Today," said the Lord Jesus Christ, "today is salvation come to this house." Now, when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, he doesn't say, "Well, I'm glad you want me to come into your heart and life. I'm glad you realize that I died for you. I'm glad tonight that you want to go to heaven and you want to be in heaven with me. But just hold on a little while and I'll let you know if it's okay." No. Immediately, the Bible says here, "Today, salvation has come to this house." And the moment you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, where you're sitting, wherever you might be, that very, very moment, the Lord Jesus Christ comes in and he comes to live in your heart. He went home with Zacchaeus and he spent some time there. Reminds me a little bit of an illustration that a gospel preacher gave. I can't remember where, but he was talking about a lady, a Christian lady, and the queen had gone to visit her on numerous occasions. And another lady had noticed that the queen had come out of her home, out of the gate. And she took the opportunity one day to go up to the lady and say to her, "Oh, I see the queen visited you today.
Oh, you must be very important.
And this dear old lady said to her, well, the Queen visits here, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he lives here. And I thought that was so wonderful. Do you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is visiting tonight. He's passing by. But he wants to come and live in your heart. He wants to save you. He wants to be your everlasting friend. And he wants to come into your heart, write your name in heaven's book of life. But dear friends, tonight, like Bartimaeus, like Zacchaeus, you must be in earnest and you must cry out. Don't leave this place without crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether young or old, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and he'll write your name immediately in heaven's book of life. I trust that the Lord Jesus Christ will bless the reading of his word to our hearts and help us to realize, just like Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus, that it might be the last opportunity we have to put our faith and trust in him. May the Lord just bless his word for his name's sake.